Welcome to the Side Hustle Project, a podcast where we explore the nitty-gritty details behind what it takes to start and grow a profitable side hustle. I'm your host, Ryan Robinson. In this podcast, I'm bringing you interviews with entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, CEOs, investors, and people just like you who are building and profiting from interesting side hustles. In today's episode, we're talking to John Lee Dumas, the powerhouse behind the massive podcast and blog Entrepreneur on Fire, where he's interviewed nearly 2,000 of the world's most interesting and successful entrepreneurs, including people you've undoubtedly heard from like Tony Robbins, Seth Godin, Gary Vaynerchuk, Barbara Corcoran, Tim Ferriss, and more. John started his podcast back in 2012 after a long, winding journey of ups and downs in various careers as an Army officer, law school student, and some hard time in the worlds of finance and real estate. After searching for a more meaningful way to make a living, John turned to one of his own intense personal interests, listening to podcasts. After years of following along with entrepreneurs who hosted their own podcasts, he was wondering why there wasn't a seven-day-a-week show for aspiring entrepreneurs. And that light bulb moment led to John slowly learning more about the world of podcasting. Today, his show boasts millions of monthly downloads, and since launching in 2012, John's business has generated over $13 million in revenue. And that revenue comes from a combination of podcast sponsorships, affiliate income, sales of online courses, access to exclusive online communities, digital products, physical products, and more. In this episode, John and I talk about how he quickly went from zero to thousands of monthly listeners of his brand new podcast very shortly after launching. We cover how John and his partner Kate brokered their first sponsorships and began diversifying their income into all the various different, largely passive income sources that afford them a flexible lifestyle today. We dig into John's most effective strategies for growing your podcast listenership, his biggest failures, his number one piece of advice for those just getting started with a podcast today, and more. As always, you can find everything we mentioned in today's episode in the show notes at ryrob.com/podcast. That's spelled ryrob.com/podcast. Let's get into today's interview with John Lee Dumas. John, welcome to the show.
Ryan, I am fired up to be here. Thanks for having me.
Fired up. I like the sound of that. So, John, let's skip the formalities and get straight to the good stuff. You're very well known for your podcast, Entrepreneur on Fire, that's now sitting at just under 2,000 episodes. And, you know, when I look back at some of the first guests you had on right at the beginning of the show, Pat Flynn, Amy Porterfield, Derek Halpern, huge names in their industries. How did you get people like this to say yes to an interview before you'd actually launch the show?
You know, just to be completely honest with you, back in 2012, not many people were listening to podcasts. But also not many people were doing podcasts. So I was one of the few people that was interviewing entrepreneurs. So it was kind of weird and new for somebody to reach out to Amy Porterfield and say, hey, do you want to come on my podcast? Like just a 20-minute call on Skype and like we'll have some fun and we'll talk and it'll be over and I'll publish it on iTunes. And they were like, oh, that's cool. And I got Amy, Pat, Seth Godin, Tim Ferriss, Gary Vaynerchuk, all of my show in the first 90 days because it was new. You know, it was a new platform and it was just like not happening every single day. So there's a lot of luck there with timing, but of course, luck is where effort meets opportunity. So there's some play in there. But you know, it was just, that was the reality, was it just wasn't your everyday thing. So I was able to really capitalize on that.
Did you have any mutual connections that kind of helped that process along? Or were you like literally just sending cold emails, you know, cold Facebook messages? What did that look like?
So yes and no. I was sending a lot of those cold emails for sure. But one thing that I did do that was very, very helpful was I invested in myself. I hired a mentor, Jamie Masters, who was a successful business podcast host and had been for a couple of years. You know, so she had connections in the industry. I was paying her really good money to be mentored by her. And so then, you know, when I asked her for a recommendation, she was able to email intro me to Pat, to Amy, who were like her friends and say, hey, this is my mentee starting a new show. I think that you should definitely check it out. It'd be worth your time. And like that just went a really long way. And that allowed me to get the first couple of yeses. And then of course, once you get the first couple of yeses from the bigger names, then your next pitch to the next person is, hey, I just had Tim Ferriss on my show. Do you want to join me too? They're like, well, if Tim was on, then why wouldn't I be on? I'm no Tim Ferriss. And then you're kind of off to the races.
Progress begets more progress. I love that. So John, when you first got started, you know, you mentioned this very, what I think is underrated thing, hiring a mentor, someone who has the ability to sort of amplify your progress right in the early days. How did you sort of fund this mentorship program? How did you fund the launch of the podcast? Because I know this was kind of early days. A lot of things that are much cheaper to do now were more expensive to do back then too.
Yeah. You know, frankly, and I'll be completely honest with you, I just did a lot of things right earlier in my life. I went to college on an Army scholarship, no college debt, 4 years as an officer in the Army, which you don't get paid a ton, but you know, you don't have a lot of expenses. So I was able to save a lot of money. So, you know, finally, when I, you know, was able to pull my head out of my butt and figure out what I wanted to do with life at 32 years old, I had some cash. I had no debts. You know, I was able to really sit down and say, okay, I can go all in on this, focus in on this completely. And if I don't make money for 16, 18, 20 months, like I'll still be okay. I have a long runway. So that was key for me. I know it's not everybody's story. And, you know, that's actually not most people's story. And you can still do it and get there by the side hustle and making things happen. But that was what was happening for me and was a really big help.
So podcast sponsorships from, you know, advertisers like 99 Designs, ZipRecruiter, and others have always been a meaningful portion of your income report. And so, you know, for everyone listening today, John publishes monthly income reports, so you can check out the exact breakdowns of where his different revenue sources are. And I want to mention, you know, over the past few years, you've really diversified with your own products. You know, you've got the community and course with Podcasters Paradise. You've got physical products like the Freedom Journal, the Mastery Journal, and of course, affiliate income. So to someone who's just getting started today, there's tons and tons of options for how they could, you know, start monetizing. It's a little overwhelming. What should someone's number one focus be when it comes to monetizing a new show?
I think the number one focus is to engage with your listeners. That's your number one focus. Like, ask your listeners, listen, I want to talk to you one-on-one. If you listen to the show and you like this show, I want to ask you a couple questions. Get them on the phone. Say, why do you like the show? Like, ask them. See what they like about it. Say, what don't you like about the show? Ask them how they heard about the show. So you can start to amplify the ways that people are finding the show. You can help really kind of, you know, ignite that, pour some igniter fluid on those areas. And then end the conversation by saying, what is your biggest number one struggle right now? What is your biggest struggle? And then just listen to them and they'll tell you what their pain points and their obstacles and their challenges are. And then you create the solution in the form of a product or a service or a community. To me, that's critical. That's absolutely key. And that's what I really recommend people to do, because that's going to allow you to really, number one, engage, get some incredibly valuable information from your listeners, and then create a solution for them in the form of a product, service, or community that, again, you can charge some money for that can start bringing revenue into you.
What was your first step sort of into that world of solving the problems your listeners were telling you that they had?
One-on-one mentorship. Like, I just started mentoring people one-on-one because, you know, I was, you know, if I was starting today all over again, I would do things a lot differently because of what I know. But, you know, knowing nothing back then and trying to figure things out, you know, it was one-on-one mentorship. Then that kind of flexed into a membership mastermind. And then that kind of finally flexed into sponsorships on the podcast when the numbers got big enough. So that's really where I was.
How did you sort of price yourself with that one-on-one mentorship in the early days?
Really low. You know, I mean, I didn't really know where I was going to start. So if I remember correctly, it was $500 a month, or you could lock it in for $950 for 2 months, and then $1,800 for 3 months. And I'll never forget, the first person to hire me is like, I'll take the 3 month package. I was like, whoa, that's cool. And it was like my first real big, like revenue, like I should say, like revenue win. And when that money came in, I'm like, wow, like people are really going to pay real money to hear like my advice on, you know, what I've created thus far, which by the way, was just a brand new podcast.
I love that. It seems like a very natural progression looking from the outside in too.
Definitely.
So John, if you can track this really well, what would you say has been your most effective strategy for acquiring new podcast listeners? And I know this kind of has probably gone in different phases over the years. So if you want to even break it down.
Yeah, it's for acquiring listeners. Like the biggest thing that's helped me when I first launched my podcast was the fact that I was having successful entrepreneurs on the show. And, you know, one thing that successful entrepreneurs all have is a lot of listeners, a lot of followers. Like that's a commonality of a successful entrepreneur. They have an audience. And because podcasting wasn't, you know, around every single corner, they weren't getting interviewed, you know, multiple times per week. And like, they'd only been on maybe a couple shows, if any. When their episode went live, you know, it was kind of a a new cool thing for them to share their audience. So I made it very easy for them to share their audience by giving them the links and the one-click shares and really asking them for that, you know, share and for them to share with their audience and to make that happen. So that really kind of helped put my show in front of listeners who had never heard of my show before, or maybe they didn't even know what podcasting was, and just really allowed my show to grow organically that way by building off of the followers and fans and audience of my guests. And that was happening 30 days a month. You know, every single day, my guest was sharing with their audience my podcast, which allowed that kind of snowball effect to really happen in a successful way.
So fast forwarding to today, what are you seeing as sort of your biggest levers for growing your audience beyond where it's at now?
Yeah. I'd say today, you know, one thing for sure is being on other shows. I mean, I, you know, spend one day per month dedicating the entire day to being on 25 other shows. You are one of 25 interviews that I'm doing today. So I hope you feel very special, because you are. But, you know, I can't just do random interviews on random days, because then it would be all I would end up doing. But I commit one day per month to be on other shows, because guess what? Everybody that's hearing my voice and your voice right now, they're podcast listeners. So if they listen to podcasts, if they like something that I say or they want to hear more, like, they're going to come check out my podcast. So this is like a really nice warm market. So I think for people that are looking to grow your audience and expand your influence, I mean, where are your perfect avatars, your perfect audience members? Where are they living right now? Where are they located at? To me, that is absolutely critical to think about. And so that's why I spend one day every month, which is very valuable. You know, like, I am hired out at $10,000 for a day to mentor another person. I just did that a couple of weeks ago with an individual. So like, I consider my days very valuable. So like, the fact that I'm willing to be on other shows, you know, tells you that I really, you know, for free, by the way, you're not paying me to be on your show right now, you know, really speaks to the fact that I really do believe that this is a good way for me to grow my audience, to share my message, to help other people, to do all those things. So that's something that's really working today for sure.
I love that. I see what you did there. Are there any particular strategies, tactics, ideas that you've tested over the years that you feel have actually ended up as a failure? Anything come to mind?
Oh, well, my mind just gets overwhelmed and overloaded with all of the failures and mistakes that I've made. So I don't even know where to start, just because so many of them, you know, have been. So any areas in particular that like you think would be most helpful?
How about product launches? So you know, you mentioned earlier that you try and build solutions to what your audience is asking for. Have any of those ended up sort of flopping?
Oh yeah. I mean, I'll tell you one now that I wouldn't actually consider a flop. I have had some flops, and like, you know, we can talk about that too, but one that we did that was actually a big success. But I'll tell you why I'm telling this part in a minute here, was Webinar on Fire, where I teach people how to create webinars that convert. And it was a course that we launched because I was having so much success with webinars, making millions of dollars doing live webinars. So we taught people our process and our system, and it was great. And that course made hundreds of thousands of dollars and was a huge success, all in all ways, shape, and form. But then we had to go back to you know, the drawing board at one point and say, wow, we keep adding more things onto our plate, doing journals and courses and other things. We got to turn some things off. So, you know, we decided to turn off our membership mastermind, Fire Nation Elite. That was making five figures of revenue every single month. We turned it off to take back that bandwidth. We shut down Webinar on Fire, and, you know, we kept the community open for people that are in, but we stopped taking new members. And now we actually just still have that, our webinar funnel for Webinar on Fire, but instead of leading it to our own course, we lead it to Amy Porterfield's course, Webinars That Convert. And we just generate revenue off of that. So we're still making significant money from a webinar course. It just doesn't happen to be ours, and it's not our clients and customers. So we're getting all that bandwidth back from actually closing down a course. So, you know, membership masterminds, the course that we shut down, those are two examples of things that I wouldn't say they're necessarily failures, but they weren't winners enough that it made sense for us to continue to spend our time, energy, and effort putting you know, ourselves into them to that level.
I love that level of prioritization. It sort of speaks volumes to how your business has grown. So John, this is going to be my last question for you. What would you say is the best investment you've ever made in the context of growing your business?
in myself. You know, I mean, that's the thing, is I invest in myself by with mentors, with joining other masterminds, going to conferences, like meeting people, talking to them. I've invested in a functional medicine doctor for my health and my wellness. So like, I just continue to invest in myself. Like when I have disposable income, you know, I invest in myself in those areas so that I can continue to just improve in every facet of my life, business, health, wellness, you name it. Investing in myself is what I love doing.
I love that because everything is interconnected. Awesome. Well, John, thank you for being here. Can you tell everyone listening today where they can go to learn more about you, your show, and everything you're up to?
Sure. All the magic for me happens at eofire.com. So head on over there, check out eofire.com because again, that is where all the magic happens. We have free courses. You can sign up to our podcast there. But we have free courses on podcasting, on webinars, on goals, on productivity, on funnels, just waiting for you at eofire.com.
Beautiful. All right. Well, John, thank you for being here.
Appreciate it.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Side Hustle Project, I would love your support. Head on over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating. And as always, you can catch every episode of the Side Hustle Project on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.